Yeah. We are back, man. Hey, how y'all been doing, man? Let me say it all right. We hope you have been well. Life has been lifing, but we are still here. We look better than ever. And we are here to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world, man. Excuse me. A lot has happened since those SummerSlam predictions, and we are prepared to talk about it and probably hip y'all to some things that you're not aware of. So let's get ready as we close out August for the first Black Champ podcast, and I'm still the pick. Yeah, I ain't lost yet. Nah, shout out to Brian Breaker too. Camp from the port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Barbershed Network is the home. We got the merch. You see Cam with the hoodie on. I am JR Bang, and I am happy to be back. We are happy to be back. Took some time off to get some stuff taken care of, but we are back. Yes. And I don't even want to waste no time because we last talked to y'all by discussing our predictions for SummerSlam. Now, that's happening. We're not going to go too in deep in all of those things because it's already happened and y'all already probably talked about it too. But a lot of things that happen at SummerSlam is affecting what's going to be happening next week at the Bash in Berlin and what's happened these last couple of weeks. Like, for example, some of the things that we've been telling y'all is going to happen for quite some time, it just finally happened. Like, for example, the new version of Day.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're leaderless or not. I don't know if Finn Balor is true. Like, I don't know how it's going, but Finn Balor, he went ahead and did what we said he was going to do, and he was going to cost Damian Priest the title. But then also Rhea Ripley lost her chance at the women's title because Dirty Dom went ahead and said, yo, it's over with. I'm over here with Liv Morgan. So now Liv Morgan is in the Judgment Day along with Finn, Big Head JD, Carlito is over there too. But at Bash at Berlin, guess what we're going to have? A mixed tag match that's going to put the Judgment Days on Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan versus what is now or who is now known as the Terror Twins.
Yeah. Ugh.
What do you feel about the Terror Twins?
Okay. So it's up there with one of the most terrible names for people that are definitely heavyweights in their division. It definitely is. Like, the Terror Twins should have been Akira Tozawa and the other Asian dude that be doing the dab, but he was like late. He was like 4 years late on the 205 Live joint. I forget my man's name.
Kushida?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or TJP. I think it was TJP. TJP.
It sounds like it should be him. We're just going to go with TJP because he sounds like a Terror Twin. You know what I mean? I love the alliance. It's confusing, though. They're blurring a lot of lines here. And the line that I see blurring, and I don't know if y'all have seen this or not, but, man, they got Rhea and Damian hugging like they together now. Like, it's almost like Dom left Rhea for Liv, but now Rhea and Dom are together, but they ain't together. And they got them hugging like Randy and Macho Man did after Sensational Sherry teed off on them after he lost the belt. And I'm like, wait, this don't make sense to me because y'all supposed to be kissing by now. And it's supposed to be the match made in heaven at Bash in Berlin and not this mixed tag match. But I do get it. It makes the Judgment Day look weak as hell, though, because it's 2-on-5 now. It's 2-on-5. And they making this legit. But I said the week is two out there. So this is first Black Champ podcast told you first that the Damian Priest face turn was imminent. It had to happen.
And hella over. Let me just say this. Mm-hmm. Hella over. He is. Yeah. I did not realize he was going to be this over.
Yeah. Hey, it was one of those weird moments where, again, something about that Braun Strowman victory, I keep going back to it. But even the matchup with Jey Uso, people really, they stopped booing. They were just like, well, let me hear what he got to say. It really wasn't good versus evil, good versus bad, David or Goliath versus thing, because Jey Uso, hey, and credit to Jey Uso, because he's getting a lot more people over than we realize also. And I think his biggest project was this Judgment Day Damian Priest thing. So, but let me not conflate, let me not get off path, because I've talked a lot. Terror Twins, hate the name, interesting dynamic. They make the Judgment Day look weak. The new one that's supposed to be leaderless, even though it's one person talking all the time. But hey, what you gonna do? Bash in Berlin, it's on the way.
Yeah, I think this name is terrible too. And I'm with you. The whole Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, after the Honky Tonk Man and the Heart Foundation beat you up hug was a little bit too much for me.
Yeah.
Like, I get it, but I don't get it. Like, why are we this happy that we're holding each other down?
Yo.
I know y'all was homies, but even you was trying to usurp her leadership because you had the championship.
Yeah.
Now you ain't got the belt and she lost her boy. Like, they are hugging because Finn cost him the title and she lost her dom. Or excuse me, her sub.
Right. Right.
And last time I checked, in the world of BDSM, you ain't really that sad when you lose your sub. Let's find you another one.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But also, okay. The other thing too, and I didn't realize this shit until the whole hug shit. Mm-hmm. Man, the Judgment Day remind me of a broke ass version of Hellraiser. It's like Hellraiser without the blood and the chains and people's skull and shit.
Yeah, man.
It's like this was what y'all was aiming for. I'm the dumb one here, but I was like, yo, I didn't realize how much BDSM was involved in the Judgment Day. And maybe, just maybe, the other members of Judgment Day was like, yo, we ain't in all this freaky shit. That's y'all. And Rhea and Damian are like, well, we understand each other. We know what we into. So we could just run trains on some of these people that we go into with them.
Hey, yo, what's wild about this? I'm sorry, real quick. What's wild about all of this is that my girl consistently and frequently used to call Damian Priest jizz pants. And I was like,
wait a minute, what?
Why do you keep calling this man jizz pants? His name is Damian Priest. She was like, those tights look like his jizz running down them on the front and the back. She was like, so he has jizz pants. I'm calling him jizz pants. And I was like, girl, would you shut the fuck? I was like, what are you doing? But
at this,
right. And then she was like, and why is he wearing like that jacket like that? And those chains. I was like, is this like some S&M shit? And I was just like, you know, I can't really sit here and deny this for the casual fan that I've introduced to this, but now we're tying this all together because look what you're saying. And you freaky had no Hellraiser. Idea these conversations were happening.
Freaky Hellraiser, fan.
Yeah.
I realized the day after SummerSlam that this is Freaky Hellraiser.
Man.
And that's what this is. It's like, yo, we want to be normal. We want to play video games. We want to be normal people that just beat people ass. Y'all nasty. We don't want to do that nasty shit.
You know what I'm saying?
So now we're the Terror Twins. So what do the Terror Twins do? This is why The one thing that I can say about Triple H's WWE is it's the WCW playbook, just with a bigger budget, because everybody had a faction at that time. Yeah. Everybody had a little group. Everybody had a little faction. And people be trying to come down on AEW because, like, AEW have a group here, then all of a sudden a person to go on this side and be a group, and this group would disband and all of that stuff. We don't need the Terra Twins. Yeah. We just need Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley in a tag match. Yeah, we don't need a group name, because then the Terra Twins, who are you terrorizing? Judgment Day? Like, once this is over, y'all ain't gonna be doing shit together. Like, this right. ain't two-man power trip. Man, this ain't that. This ain't Stone Cold and Triple H beating up Jeff Hardy and them. No, this is two people that got a gripe because she lost her sub and he lost his title. At the end of the day, just have a return match. I don't need a tag team that's now, unless you're about to tell me that they're gonna make them the tag team champions,
which would also be wild.
Which would be wild as hell. Like, unless you tell me, like, and who's the tag team champions on Raw?
I know it was Awesome Truth. Is it still Awesome Truth? No, it's somebody just beat Awesome Truth.
It's the Judgment Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So if you would have said they're gonna go up against Finn and JD, that's one thing. No, you had them going up against Dom and Liv, and Dom didn't cost Damian Priest the title.
Yeah.
Finn did.
Yeah. Yeah, see? All over the place.
For me, it would have made more sense to be like, oh, I lost my title. You lost your chance to get your title back. Let's go get these bitches. And there's nobody that's going to question why Rhea Ripley is a tag team champ or wrestling for the tag team championship.
And not for nothing, she keep beating JD ass every week. So, you know, real quick on Rhea Ripley, because she's now in her China booking phase, right? Because on one hand, they got her beating up dudes. They had her beating up dudes a lot. But now this storyline with Liv is supposed to humanize and womanize her. Like, not as like womanizing, but like make her more of like a delicate flower type of woman. But yet she's still beating up guys that she's bigger than. So now I'm curious about what they do with Rhea after this match, because I got them winning this match. Because this has to move on some way. We don't want to see Damian versus Dom like 3-4 times. We don't need that. So I got them going over and then her pursuing the title. But after that, like, what happens with Rhea Ripley? Like, she gonna get into the sex symbol bag? She gonna get into the dominant reign bag? Because, you know, she's essentially going to get the opportunity that China never got after Mamacita. Right. She's gonna get that. She's gonna get the chance she never got. So I am curious of what they're gonna see here, because of what we're gonna see here, because they really got her in that phase where China won an Intercontinental title, but then she was somebody girl. And so what's next, you know? And I don't think love scenes with Damian Priest is in the cards, but
right.
Let's make this make more sense as we get her out of that.
Yeah, I don't see them like. I see them running trains on folks more than I see them two having sex. Talking about Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest.
You know, hey, well, they do call him the bisexual Undertaker. So,
hey, yo, he like, yo, hey, Rhea, get the strap. Get the strap.
Yo, like, yo,
about to go down. You know what I'm saying? about to fuck the shit out of these people. That's Damian Priest. That's the Terror Twins, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's some
Terror Twins. Ain't wrestling. Like, this ain't got nothing to do with wrestling. This is freaky Hellraiser. Yeah. That's what this is. Yeah, welcome back. Yeah, hey, yeah, you goddamn right. But you goddamn right. But I ain't wrong. You goddamn right, I ain't wrong. Goddamn right, I ain't wrong. Judgment Day. I mean, well, I was wrong in the beginning because I didn't see the sexual overtones of Judgment Day.
Mm.
But I do see the freaky Hellraiser aspect of Judgment Day and now the Terror Twins. And Donnie, hey, you right. She'd be a little bit too comfortable. Caden Carter be a little bit too comfortable in them TikToks. But then also, that was the rumor that Damian Priest took CJ Perry away from, you know, our man's Rusev. So, hey, man, Damian Priest out here, you know what I'm saying? Whether he's bisexual Undertaker or whether this is freaky Hellraiser, hey, the Terror Twins are the BDSM Tag Team Champions of the world. They got a strap coming near you, and I ain't talking about the straps that's around Finn Balor and JD. Yeah. All right, let's move on real quick. We didn't get to talk to you all about the happenings at SummerSlam. So we're connecting the dots. One dot that has not been connected just yet, because they did have a return match for it where it was a 2 out of 3 falls match, but hey, we was right in our prediction that Bron Breakker was going to win the Intercontinental Championship.
Indeed.
And he definitely did that in to me dominant fashion. And then they had the best 2 out of 3 falls, which I didn't like that shit. Like, there's some people that does not need best 2 out of 3 falls matches. Mm-hmm. Bron Breakker ain't either of them. Like, he's not the 2 out. To me, maybe I'm overthinking this,
mm-hmm.
but 2 out of 3 falls matches are meant for people who are technical wrestlers who can wrestle their ass off. It's like, mm-hmm. them matches and Iron Man matches are for wrestling elite. Falls count anywhere, last man standing matches, street fights are for people like Bron Breakker.
Okay.
Am I overthinking that?
I won't say you're overthinking it, but here's another thing that I've been watching in wrestling. Bron Breakker's not a heel.
No.
They trying. They trying. Hey, and this Pat McAfee fault. This is his fault. So now, I mean, listen, man, when you do your own version of the Frankensteiner, by jumping up to the top rope and doing it.
And doing this.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You need a 2 out of 3 fall match then. You do. And and I say it for this reason. We know his pops. We know his uncle. And even though they were much more compelling in street fights and brawls and things of that nature, they were also your unlikely 2 out of 3 fall guy. Because you're like, yo, how are these two muscle-bound Michigan motherfuckers about to sit here and wrestle for 30 damn minutes?
Yeah.
But they do it. But they do it, and they fire. So, like, I'm with you if I didn't know his family tree. I'm with you. But I know his family tree. Everything with Bron Breakker makes perfect sense to me. He is no longer a heel. There's too many people barking. They probably did that 2 out of 3 fall match because the tide might start turning on Sami Zayn at this point. That's my wrestling conspiracy theory. Let's do the 2 out of 3 fall match. Let's give him a good match. But let's not play in too much about how Braun is the heel versus Sami Zayn being the face, because that ain't really what's happening no more. He was supposed to get a lot of heat for what he did to Ricochet. And he didn't. And He beat down a couple people. They made him dismantle a lot of people that the crowd and children 5 to 8 years old love. And the barks just got louder. So I'm in the belief the Bron Breakker can do anything because his dad is Scott Steiner. His dad is Rick Steiner. His father is Scott Steiner. And that's how I felt about them.
Well, you're right. He's not no heel.
Yeah.
Like, the only person at this point, and I'm not hot taking this, I really truly believe, at this point, the only person that Bron Breakker can jump and get booed is Roman Reigns.
Yeah. That'd be it. That'd be it. Because even white guys like the tougher white guy. Like,
right.
That's what John Cena versus Brock Lesnar was about. Like, hey, you want to know when the uptick of John Cena sucks chance started? See John Cena versus Brock Lesnar 2013 SummerSlam, I believe. I believe that's when it was. It was like, nah, man. It's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Like, he's black Bobby Lashley. I mean, he's white Bobby Lashley for us. Which is also Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker is also white Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley is no longer with the WWE, and I think part of the reason why is because of Bron Breakker. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Now, to move on a bit, now let's get to one of the bigger items that happened at SummerSlam. Drew McIntyre defeated CM Punk. Just Seth freaking Rollins was your special guest referee. And the match, I think it was one of the better matches of the night.
Yeah, for sure.
I wasn't necessarily in love with the finish.
Yeah.
But we know this is going to keep going. We know that this is pretty much going to be your summer going into fall matchup. And that Bash at Berlin, we have CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre in a strap match. So we were look, this is the fuck I'm talking about. All right. Now we get into the violence, goddammit.
Mm-hmm.
If you know me, you know there's a couple of matches that I love. One of them is strap matches, because in strap matches, at least in WCW, because WWF didn't do these bitches right.
Mm-hmm.
WCW, hey, if one of the matches they got right, or let me rephrase that, if they didn't get any match right, WCW got strap matches right. Because when they was like, yo, Stan Hansen versus Lex Luger in the strap match, I was like, Lex Luger's going to die.
Yeah.
When they said Vader versus Hogan in a strap match, whatever that shit was, Hogan called it, Rappapie strap matches or whatever.
Yeah.
Rappapie strap match.
Like, did you trademark that? Like, what did you do that
for? The fuck is you talking about? What is this? But when they said that Hulk Hogan was in a strap match with Vader, we was like, Hulk Hogan's going to die. Because Vader damn near killed Sting in a strap match. So they got that shit right. Right. Now we're going to have Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk in what? A strap match.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll say it again. Hey, man, Triple H is WCW with a bigger budget.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to talk about CM Punk and Drew McIntyre right now.
Okay.
Good talk about Seth freaking Rollins. And what happened afterwards?
Oh,
here's
why,
ladies and gentlemen. Triple H listens to the pod. Can't tell me Triple H don't listen to the pod. I've been saying for at least 2 years, we need to get back to a big monster heel, big dude, a big nigga. All right. I ain't going to go to the big meaty man bumping meat shit like Big E said. Yeah, I'm going to say what I've been saying for a while now. We need a big ass heel to beat somebody ass. Not nobody tall either. We don't need a Big Show type. No, we need somebody like Vader. And what has happened since we have recorded camp? Two things that prove to me that Triple H, you be paying attention. Just send me a DM. I ain't gonna tell nobody. One, Bronson Reed beat the shit out of Seth Rollins.
Yeah, man.
He squashed him. He splashed that man off of the top rope about 8 times. And the crowd was like, do that shit again. Run that
right.
Shit back. And second, on NXT, Otis paid tribute to Vader by wearing the Vader colors on the straps. Triple H, you pay attention to us. Because I ain't heard no wrestling pod that is saying we need to get back to the fat ass monster heels. And we need to be celebrating Vader, man. We need a Vader type heel. He gave us that shit twice while we was gone. Triple H, I salute you.
Yeah, man. Thank you, man. We appreciate the hashtag Bambi knowing, in case y'all forgot the hashtag, but you shouldn't. You did. So there's that.
What are your thoughts about Bronson Reed? Are your thoughts about Bronson Reed, his demolishing of Seth Rollins, and the outlook for this man? Because now he said it the other day, yo, I'm a top guy.
Yeah.
So what's up?
Yeah. So, you know, I think they're starting this off right, because he squashes Seth Rollins, then he squashes R-Truth. Then I think The Miz was next after that. And now he's got Braun Strowman. And for me, everybody's turning point and what their run will be is determined by Braun Strowman. If you beat Braun Strowman, most likely you're on the trajectory towards a title or at least a meaningful storyline that will really see if you're prepared for the big time. Or Braun Strowman beats you, you'll be on main event. Or NXT, but there is no in between. you'll be in between both of those. So I think I get the answer to that question Monday night. There is obviously a need for what Bronson Reed is doing. The crowd, regardless of how much they love you, seems to be in on this. And now it is true. To be that big monster Vader-esque heel, putting Braun Strowman through the mat on Monday night, that's the telltale for me. Because right now, he's in the two-minute warning segment slot. Like, that's like Braun Strowman is the one-man two-minute warning. So now, you put him down, then it only leads to a collision course for Bron Breakker versus Bronson Reed for the Intercontinental title. Is it too early for that, though? Don't know.
Yeah, it's too early.
Because here's the thing. We're solidifying one as a face, and we're solidifying one as a monster heel. So part of me does believe you got to put somebody else in the way. Let's get them to at least Survivor Series. Maybe even the Royal Rumble. So, but the problem is when you get over in this era, you get fast tracked. And then every win or loss becomes critical. So, unless they think they can get a trilogy out of Bronson Reed, Bron Breakker, I say hold off. But to me, that's where this is all going. This is all going there. Because Sami Zayn and Jey Uso and Gunther and everybody else is just out of the picture. Everybody's out of the picture. And there's no reason for a CM Punk, a Drew McIntyre, or a Seth Rollins to be going after the Intercontinental title. And this tournament that's happening, I think, is the space saver unless Bronson Reed is in it.
Yeah, see, I don't need Bronson Reed to fight nobody and get into a mini feud because he took out Seth Rollins. I need him to get his King Kong Bundy on. Just destroy niggas.
Yeah.
Keep destroying niggas until Seth Rollins comes back. And I'll go as far as to say this. Seth got to put him over.
Yeah.
Seth don't lose anything losing a feud to Bronson Reed. You can't build up Bronson Reed just for Seth Rollins to come back and beat him because then he falls back. I'm not saying that Bronson Reed needs to be the world champion. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that in order for him to stay where he is, when Seth comes back, he got to win that feud. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy that they put somebody in this major heel spot, because even with Cody, which we'll get to a little bit later, the main gripe that I have is there's no fear for him losing the belt.
Yeah.
I don't think Bronson Reed is going to put any fear in me to Gunther losing the belt or even Bron Breakker. But you just need those major big heels around just for those grudge matches purposes.
Yeah.
Just for those secondary feud purposes. And then you can one-off them with the King Kong Bundy type situation. Like, you know, when Hulk Hogan went up against King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania 2. Not saying that Bron Breakker needs to be in the main event, but after Hulk Hogan defeated King Kong Bundy, he moved on to Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't hear King Kong Bundy being in a title hunt after that.
Not true.
But you was afraid anytime you saw King Kong Bundy. Now, after WrestleMania, what, 3, we didn't see him for quite some time in the WWE. We saw him everywhere else. And you saw him on Moving with Richard Pryor. But you didn't see him back into the WWE until around what, after WrestleMania 10? Or around WrestleMania 10? And he was put against The Undertaker around what, WrestleMania 11? I think it was. But that was the first time outside of Giant Gonzalez that you was like, yo, somebody matches up with The Undertaker in some type of way. Mm-hmm. King Kong Bundy owned the record for him like defeating somebody at WrestleMania, and the Avalanche is a devastating move. He splashed you on the corner, and then he splashed you on the mat. So, man, can The Undertaker get away with that? They took my man Earn, all of those things. You set him up for shit like that.
Yeah.
And maybe if things go well, okay, maybe you put the strap on him or a strap on him. Maybe you do give him an intercontinental title run. It really solidifies Bron Breakker as a face, because now he got to go back and he got to go get that belt. Mm-hmm. Look, some of Sting's best feuds was for the United States Championship, not the World Championship.
That's a fact. That's a fact. And you know what? I do like your concept and thought process of letting Bronson Reed destroy the field until it's time to get him in a title picture. However, every name that comes to my mind would then make him a face. Like, for instance, the Higher Learning Area Nation. Like, if he dismantled them, like, granted.
Wait a minute, what?
The Higher Learning Area Nation. If he take out Karrion Kross and... Huh. I'm just listening to the opponents. So if he was to take out the Higher Learning Area Nation and Karrion Kross and Rezar and Akam, that would come to make him a face. Yeah, yeah. Hey, Ross, though, it's Remy, the swole dude, and the other guy that I think was also in American History X. So if he beat them,
oh man,
we might start cheering. So he kind of got to beat Xavier Woods. You know what I mean? Like, it's
get
it's
him, bad. Remy. Remy, get him. Remy.
You know what I'm so you know what I mean? Then he got to destroy the other dudes in LWO. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Menudo guys. He got to get rid of them.
All right, so let's do this. We're going to do this. First of all, we're going to do this. First of all, that's hilarious. That man said, Higher Learning Area Nation. All right, so I'm going to go through these list of faces.
Okay.
And on Raw, currently right now. Let's start with, because it looks like they're lacking. They need some faces in this motherfucker.
Yeah, man. Real.
We talked about Braun Strowman.
Mm-hmm.
CM Punk is already in the feud. Mm-hmm. Dragunov is already out.
Yeah.
Jey Uso.
Yeah, Jey Uso is going to be on that list. Unfortunately, like, that's going to be his winter body. Pause. He's going to have to lay him down and in an effort to be like, yo, how come I ain't get no title shots? And JL's going to be like, well, I ain't getting none either. And you ain't hotter than me. Yeet. And then he about to squash dude. And then that's going to put him in the light. I go, I got to get at least an intercontinental title shot out here or something, man. Something's got to go on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. After that, what is the New Day, who already in that situation with Odyssey Jones, which we'll get into in a sec. The semi get destroyed by Big Bronson Reed. Like, yo, he's already did the Miz.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wait, Sami Zayn also happened since we were gone.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
See, the clip is half full already. Yeah. Clip is half full. So
yeah,
it ain't too much. And the thing is, like, you know. Like, him beating Dragon Lee ain't going to move the needle for me. Like, I expect it. No. You know what I'm saying? And in situations like this, even though I think they heals too now, I'm going to say that there's got to be a Viking Raider signing, but I think they heals.
They're no, they hurt.
Oh, well, shit.
See? Mm, niggas hurt.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, man. Hey.
Raw, y'all need some more faces.
Yeah. It's time for a call up or five because everybody a damn heel. Everybody's supposed to be a heel. And look, first black champ Ben told y'all, we're on our year three now. It's way too many people that's supposed to be heels, and it's way too many undersized faces. There ain't nobody formidable. That's why the John Cena tour is gonna look stellar, because at least finally a guy that's damn near 6 foot and over 205 pounds that can actually compete with people cheering. Like, that is going to be incredible because there is nobody else. There's nobody else.
Now, I want to transition because we could have had a face or faces to be over there, but they gone. And who are they? Man, Bobby Lashley and MVP are no longer with the WWE.
Yeah, man.
They are no longer under contract. There's rumors of Bobby Lashley actually getting involved in a boxing match, which would be interesting. He definitely been boxing his ass off on his Instagram page. Mm-hmm. He been doing more boxing stuff than wrestling stuff. But just to get into the black part of wrestling,
yeah, man.
Bobby Lashley, MVP, are no longer contractually connected with the WWE. Their profiles have been moved to the alumni section, along with Ricochet. And there's rumors that Ricochet will debut today at All In in Wembley. So we have that. So the Hurt Business is no longer in the WWE, but the same LLC that copyrighted some stuff with MVP has copyrighted Hurt Syndicate. So, what are your thoughts about Bobby Lashley and MVP bringing the Hurt Syndicate to a potential company?
Because it's those two guys, I'm positive. I'm positive about it. You know, whether people know it about MVP and Bobby Lashley or not, they are two of the more respected just black men in the world of wrestling for any generation of just wrestling aficionado, fan, wrestler, what have you. Like, these are two of the guys, especially when you look at this millennium. So for the last 24 years, there hasn't been a longer, more respectable run in and out of the ring than those two guys, as far as I know. I mean, and that's not to diminish anybody else. I'm just saying that if there's a top five, they're one and two. I do believe that the one thing that they definitely need is creative control over what they do, because I think that they're always going to operate in making Black people look the greatest in wrestling. I can't point to a time in either one of their careers, in or out of the WWE, where they have done something in the realm of sports entertainment, combat, or life, where we question how they look doing it. I can't think of one time. So, I I'll tell you this. Hey, look. They go to AEW, I'm watching more consistently. I'll throw it out there just like that. A lot of people have not moved the needle for me. I tried to get the needle to move with Adam Cole, but we saw what happened. And don't get me wrong, I was actually a fan. I mean, look, Mercedes Moné, I tried. And outside of her doing that moan after getting beat up, I haven't really checked out much. But I will say Bobby Lashley MVP, because the way we look when they do it, they gonna get a few weeks of views out of me, or at least hit the alerts on the YouTube channel to catch the recaps. I'm gonna be that real about it.
Look, I'll say this: if Bobby Lashley and MVP do sign with AEW, if that man ain't champion first night, like, there's wrestlers that if they go to another company, to me, there's the expectation that they're the next champ.
For sure.
Bobby Lashley is one of those people. If Bobby Lashley is not champ when he gets to AEW, like, he gets to AEW on Monday, and since they be having title matches the way that they have it without it even being a pay-per-view involved, if that man is not champion the next week after he debuts, then something's wrong. Bobby Lashley, to me, moved the needle when it comes to when he gets on that screen. Mm-hmm. He's a well-known wrestler. He has dabbled in MMA. He's very charismatic. He dresses well. He talks the talk. He walks the walk. Mm-hmm. And with MVP by his side, you mean to tell me that Bobby Lashley got to wait?
Yeah. No. I want to say this. Yeah, I'm sorry. I want to say this real quick. I'm sorry for cutting you off. If the move is AEW, to me, what Mr. Khan and the crew have finally done is gotten a superstar today that is actually going to get them the results that they thought everybody else was.
Yep.
And that's no disrespect to Bryan Danielson. That's no respect to disrespect to Adam Copeland and all this. But the thing is, those guys either got the luxury of being box office because of who they were facing, or the luxury of just the production that makes them who they are. Bobby Lashley has been proven to move the needle with nothing more than dog tags and black tights on. You know what I'm saying? Like, as much as we love Edge, and Edge is a great, I don't think he's diminished anything about his career by going to AEW. It just looks funny. It just looks funny. It just looks different. You know what I mean? He's never been able to do what Bobby Lashley does with less. You give the effort, time, and package and production that goes into building an Edge to a Bobby Lashley, he's Hulk Hogan. And respectfully, he's Stone Cold Steve Austin if they do that. He's The Rock if they do that. So I think this, and this is just not because I think personally that Bobby Lashley is the greatest Black pro wrestler of all time. It has something to do with that, but it's not the only reason to do with that, because I'm calling him that and you see where the budgets be.
Yeah.
That's that. So if they get that over there, because Bobby Lashley looking like he got 5 good years left in him, and the man is, if not almost 50, at 50. He'll be 50 plus with that 5 years. And that's what I see. So this could be big no matter where he ends up, but especially big for AEW, whether the racism rumors and all that are true or not.
I mean, look, Swerve is the champ. I expect Swerve to lose the championship against Bryan Danielson. I expect Bryan Danielson to get his big ass a yes moment like he did at WrestleMania in New Orleans. He's going to get that at Wembley Stadium. That's my expectation. If anybody were to ask me what I think was going to happen at All In, to me, that's the only thing that matters outside of MJF and Will Ospreay. Because MJF does have it real, real MAGA looking versus Europeans. Like he really got it camped from the port versus Europeans right now. when it comes to that. You know, without the flag, without flag gear. Without flag gear. But if Bobby Lashley, MVP, and Shelton Benjamin all debut together. And they just pull in one more black person. Let's just say it's Ricochet. Let's say, for instance, the Hurt Syndicate is Bobby Lashley, MVP, Shelton Benjamin. Let's say Ricochet. Yeah. Bobby Lashley needs to be the champ before his first month in AEW. He will make me watch AEW religiously because of who he is, his work ethic, what he brings to the table, and his ability. Along with that, MVP, to me, is Black Paul Heyman in this case.
Facts.
So whoever he's aligned with becomes bigger. Shelton Benjamin, I would love to see Shelton Benjamin out there still doing his thing. And whether it is Ricochet or whether it is Keith Lee when healthy, whether it is any of these people, whoever's the fourth, to me, almost in the case, does not matter.
Yeah.
Because Bobby Lashley is the draw here. If Bobby Lashley ends up at AEW and they bring this Hurt Syndicate over there, I am watching weekly. If Bobby Lashley goes to TNA, where he's a former champion in that organization, I am watching or figure out how to watch TNA religiously.
Facts.
I don't think the WWE dropped the ball because Bobby Lashley is a multiple time champion. He's a future WWE Hall of Famer. Sometimes you just need to go somewhere else to do your thing. Mm-hmm. Just know that wherever he goes, I'm going to.
Yeah. Yeah. Facts. Me too.
And that's that,
yeah.
Y'all.
Yeah, right. Yeah, hey, really say shit else.
Yeah, that did it for me. Now, the other black wrestling news and shit. Man, the New Day getting weird.
Yeah, man.
Once upon a time, I was told, or I heard, that the New Day would never break up. They would never have those issues that other factions have because that's not what we want. Mm-hmm. But that was in Vince McMahon's day.
Yeah.
Now we got Xavier Woods looking at Kofi funny because Kofi then brought in a bigger, taller Big E in Odyssey Jones. Mm-hmm. I am still waiting for Odyssey Jones to say, well, don't be scared to be sour. Clap. I'm waiting for him to do that so Xavier Woods can look and be like, man, what the fuck going on? What are we doing here? But because of what we're seeing, do you feel like we're going to see a splinter of the New Day, a split, as you will, and Kofi's going to go his own way for a little bit, and Xavier Woods is going to do that? Do you feel like Odyssey Jones is going to bring them back together. You know, like, hey, it's three of us. We back out here. Mm-hmm. Or another thought is, does Odyssey Jones beat these niggas' asses? Like, eventually. Like, what are your thoughts about this new pairing and what's up?
Hey, man. I literally was going to start this saying by, I hope Odyssey Jones clap both of these niggas. And end this. Like, the New Day is starting to become the Rockers. Ooh. And not just the Rockers, but the New Rockers. See, ooh. I don't know if y'all been around for that. See, I've been outside a long time. I've been outside for four decades, all right? These fools look like the New Rockers right now. Oh, and like, I would say they look like the Axe Smash and Crush Demolition, but no, they still won titles. That ain't what's happening here. Right now, like, again, the Higher Learning Area Nation already caused this rift. Now they got them on NXT. Then it's then Odyssey Jones, who's obviously his best years are ahead of him. And, you know, when Xavier Woods didn't, well, when he won the King of the Ring but didn't win the Intercontinental title, I was like, man, what is about to happen? Because that was his moment. That 2 years before and capturing the King of the Ring and after. And then even when Kofi got hurt, I was like, yo, this is the moment. This is the moment where Xavier Woods can prove that he is at least a mid-card staple, and it didn't happen. Now we got this going on. And all I can think of is that, man, Odyssey Jones outweighed both of them. He should just clap both of these fools and keep it moving and be like, yo, the New Day dead, y'all. I don't know. This is... Like, this is about me right now. I was like, and Biggie can't do nothing, so whatever. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes we gotta let the casket drop on some things. And I think the New Day is a thing we gotta let the casket drop on. They don't dress alike. My man don't got the trombone no more. I don't remember the last time they won a match that actually mattered. And pursue the future endeavors at this point. Whether it's gaming, whether it's being a family man, whatever it is. Shoot, hey, host the bump. I don't care. I don't even care. I don't, like, what I don't want to see is the New Day anymore. And I never thought I'd say that because I was kind of early on the chain of champion, train of championing the New Day. As a tandem, as a unit, any combination. But nah, right now, nah. Get these niggas out of here. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. I agree with you, but not in the same way. I don't even think Odyssey Jones belongs in this group in the way that this is going on. This storyline.
No, yeah, no way.
I said this before. I'll say it again. I believe that Odyssey Jones should be Carmelo Hayes' muscle. That's who he should be aligned with. Carmelo needs another trick. But he needs somebody that's more on the lines of Diesel and not Slick. Mm-hmm. Odyssey Jones should have been Melo's muscle. Mm. And I think that Melo and Odyssey would be farther ahead. Putting Odyssey with the New Day. Okay, you put him by some OGs and he can learn from them and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it don't do anything for me because the New Day will always be them two and Big E. Yeah. So unless Big E about to come back and say today, unless you're about to tell us that Big E is healthy enough to wrestle and stuff, or he's healthy enough to take a bump to where we put Odyssey Jones over massively like y'all did with Bronson Reed, I don't think this matters.
Yeah.
For Odyssey Jones. And it shouldn't happen. So, I mean, I'm with you. Like, go ahead and pull the plug on these old niggas at this yeah. point.
Yeah.
Because also, I don't think it's going to lead to anything for the person that I think it should lead it to. Mm-hmm. And that's Xavier Woods.
Yes.
Like, unless y'all about to tell me that y'all about to put Xavier Woods over heavily, or Odyssey Jones is going to whoop Kofi's ass. and he's going to align with Xavier Woods, unless that happens, then what does this do for anybody? It does nothing.
Yeah.
So that's my whole issue.
Yeah.
The issue is, I believe that Odyssey Jones fits best with Melo as his muscle. And even if y'all go through this, it's not going to do anything for Xavier Woods.
Yeah.
And I believe that he is the person in the New Day that deserves a chance to move up the card.
Yes.
Not Kofi, and Big E is gone. Mm-hmm. Xavier Woods needs, I ain't going to say a major push, but he needs to get from underneath the shadow of New Day.
Yeah. Man, I'm a trillion percent with you, man. Even though so much misfortune happened within the New Day, and it was kind of back-to-back, right? First, you get the squash match for Kofi against Brock Lesnar to lose the title. Then, you know, Big E leaves, wins Money in the Bank, cashes in, then gets hurt. So now it's, you know, then it's up in the air if the three will ever come together again. I think they have one more decent run. It wasn't the heyday run of Usos' New Day. Then you get this moment, again, I'll go back to it very quickly, where it seemed like Xavier Woods was going to get just his time. You know what I'm saying? Look, Kofi's out of the way due to injury. So is Big E. They put him in the King of the Ring tournament. And they sort of asked him about his aspirations of wanting to be the King of the Ring, wanting to be the Intercontinental Champion. And so much was happening for him that was positive. And then it was almost like there was no person available that they felt, well, they felt was available to put him over, because he's kind of an anomaly, right? Because he's not a 205 live wrestler. Like, he's way too big. He's with Boss. He's way too big to be with the little guys. But I never saw world champion is, you know, in the sights either. But my thing is, they have let a lot of other people that don't look like us, that in stature and accolades, whether tag or solo, they let them cook. And I don't know why Xavier Woods has not gotten the opportunity to cook, because he was also an extreme fan favorite. And I think you could say that anywhere about Mr. Creed, you know what I'm saying? Just in general. So, yeah, I would love for Xavier Woods to get his time. Just get his time. I mean, this is not to put two black men against each other, but I want Xavier Woods to get his time more than I want Montez Ford at this point. And they both old. And they're both old.
Interesting. All right, man. So, last topic of the day. We all knew that Cody was going to win against Solo.
Yeah.
We all predicted that Roman Reigns will show up at SummerSlam. We all saw what happened there. Now we have Roman Reigns back. And the last time we saw Roman Reigns, he was getting his ass beat by Jacob Fatu. Now, we'll get to that part in a minute, but like I've been saying, I don't know, y'all, if y'all want to put Jacob Fatu next to Roman Reigns, because that's more entertaining than seeing Roman Reigns versus Solo. Yeah, and the fact that Jacob Fatu beat their ass in a walking boot. But we'll get to that a little bit later. And what we could see coming up with the Bloodline, because it was something interesting that happened on Friday. Mm. But let's go to Cody.
Mm.
Camp, I said this on the last episode. I've said this on prior episodes. I'm going to say it here again. Cody Rhodes, his title reign might not be a failure, but it's leaving more to be desired.
Yeah.
Because there's not been a title match that I have been afraid of him losing. There's not been a feud of Cody's going in to where I've been like, oh man, the face might lose this one.
Right.
And because, why is that the case? Why are we not afraid of Cody getting into a feud that he could possibly lose the title is because he's doing favors when it comes to title shots.
Yeah.
And we're at it again when Cody says he wants to do Kevin Owens a favor for everything he's done for him and to give him a title shot. Mm-hmm. Now, I fully expect Kevin Owens to be back on this Kevin Owens shit after Bash at Berlin. I do expect it.
Yeah.
I expect him to lose and be like, fuck this, and whoop Cody's ass. Now, when that happens, I'll be afraid. Mm-hmm. Or if that happens, I'll be afraid because I do believe Kevin Owens is one of those people that could be world champion now. That could defeat Cody, and whether it be transitional or not, he could defeat Cody and wear that title for a month or two. Mm. What I'm tired of is the I'm going to do you the favor because I rock with you. I'm going to do you the favor because I want to test your skills to see where you're at right now. Mm. I am tired of those title matches. Cody Rhodes has to be placed in a feud that leads to fear that he might lose this thing. Mm-hmm. And that's just not happened because the way that they have presented these matches, not because of who he's wrestling, it's because that's what y'all are basically saying every time he gives somebody a title match.
Yeah, yep.
And it's frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, man. I know we haven't quite said that we're going to give predictions, but with everything being so predictable with Cody Rhodes and this title reign, I do want to throw out there that I am picking Kevin Owens to win this match. It's like I am. Oh. I'm picking Kevin Owens. No joke. Oh. Everything about me watching this says that, hey, look, hey, what I tell y'all, smart money was on Tiffany Stratton. Look, smart money's on Cody Rhodes. It's on Cody Rhodes. However, there has to be a shift here. We can't keep the musical chairs of Bloodline, Cody, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, back to Bloodline, Cody, and whoever, with no Roman Reigns to clearly stand on one side of the fence. I feel that the favor that's really going to happen here is not Cody Rhodes giving Kevin Owens a shot for all of his work before he got there. I believe the real favor is Kevin Owens bringing back some veteran advice and saying, yeah, hey, just like everybody in that montage, you had it coming. I'm not your fucking friend. Like, I want to be the champ. I don't care about you. Like, I respect you, but I don't care about you. I think this is all for me, and this can be my guarantee if y'all would like. This is my guarantee. I guarantee that Kevin Owens is about to set the tone of the fuck Cody Rhodes and all this bullshit tour. Like, I think the hugs and the handshakes and the kissing and the respect is over now. And who better than Kevin Owens to set that off in the landscape of wrestling today? They've totally got Randy Orton out the picture. They've given him a whole nother show, a whole nother title to go after. And we were literally, before we even left, we were like, yo, the only feud that makes sense to really set this title reign off for Cody Rhodes is Randy Orton. And they moved him out the damn way. So that, to me, means that Kevin Owens has to be the guy. The thing, and the reason why he has to be the guy is this. Because in any landscape, whether you're National Pro Wrestling, Independent Circuit, AEW, no matter who you look to, If you are over the age of 11 years old, Kevin Owens beating Cody Rhodes is way more than possible.
Yeah.
It's actually some shit that just should happen. And with that, don't that make Cody Rhodes' dreams and aspirations and all for his dreams to come shattering down because he playing too nice, because he want to help out the homies in professional wrestling, where people like Booker T says here, you can make friends or you can make money. And where in the industry where Stone Cold Steve Austin said, if you don't want to be the champion, you're in the wrong damn business. Like, when you hear these kind of things from these guys, and we're about to go to Germany for the first time for a PLE because Cody Rhodes want to do the homie a solid. No, he should get his ass kicked and have his title taken for doing some shit like that. That's what should happen. That's what should happen. Now, granted, where does that put wrestling? Upside down. Because now the golden boy, the golden ticket, who seemingly hasn't really lost the match since he's debuted at WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes. Well, that every match, like, you know, cleanly, because obviously he lost at the previous WrestleMania. But for that to happen, and now he's got to chase Kevin Owens for the belt? No, I'm here for that storyline. I'm here for that one. Because he ain't got no more friends to face and do him the solid. And there's nobody else billed as being big enough or bad enough to position themselves as a threat for October. So I'm picking Kevin Owens because fuck this shit. Somebody need to knock Cody the fuck out, take his belt, and let him realize where the fuck he at now. Now we're tired of this shit. Now we're tired of this. Let's get to it.
Well, we are going to get to our predictions for Bash at the Berlin towards the end. But I'll say mine now, since you've got it there. I believe that Cody's going to win, but I also believe that after the match, Kevin Owens is going to whoop Cody's ass.
Hey, either way, Cody got an ass kicking coming.
Yeah, either way it go, he got an ass kicking coming. And we're going to get that stone face that Kevin Owens. And then my prediction would be at the next PLE, Kevin Owens will be your new Undisputed Universal Champion. Mm. Now, Cody will get it back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, look, I'll put it for those who might not be understanding. Here's how I'll get y'all to understand. Cody Rhodes been playing this Rocky thing for a minute. Well, if you're going to play that role, remember, there's Rocky 3. Mm-hmm. Now, Rocky 3, Rocky got his ass beat. He got mm-hmm. the belt back, but mm-hmm. he had to find the Eye of the Tiger back.
That's right.
Hey, Cody's going to have to get his ass whooped and find the Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
And we'll right. go from there. And, yes, Donnie, Ross, to answer your questions together, I love the Arn Anderson appearance, and I'm going to love it when Kevin Owens beat the shit out of Arn Anderson.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that's when we're going to get the Cody that we want to see back, the mm-hmm. aggressive Cody. Like, we're going to start seeing the montages then.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Nigga, Arn is going to be Mick in this situation, fam. Yeah. We ain't going to see Arn.
And I can't wait for that. And I can't wait for the callback to how he didn't have the Glock on him. And that's why I was able to beat his ass.
Yeah. You damn well better believe that either Wade Barrett, that's probably going to be Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett's going to be like, oh, R. Anderson needed the Glock. But he didn't have it. And because of that, Kevin Owens got the upper hand. All right, let's go to the bloodline real quick.
Yeah.
Like I said, Roman Reigns is back. Solo Sikoa, as expected, did not win the title, with because of Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns got in that ass without Jacob Fatu being around. Yeah, and then Jacob Fatu came around and whooped Roman Reigns' ass. Reportedly, they said that they wanted to keep Jacob Fatu and Roman Reigns away from each other. Mm-hmm. If this is right, this proves what I've been saying all along.
Yeah.
We don't give a shit about Solo, y'all. It's all about Jacob Fatu. And when you look at Friday and he whooped everybody's ass with a walking boot. He beat the shit out of Roman Reigns a week prior with a walking boot. This to me is Roman Reigns versus Jacob Fatu somewhere down the line. But that is the most anticipated wrestling match not named Rock versus Roman.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, though, the other thing that we got to look at, Jay has not been involved. Jimmy still ain't re-debuted. Mm-hmm. The other Tongans ain't showed up.
Nope.
But who is showing up? Apparently the new tag team champion, and we don't give a damn about a Freebird rule. Tama Tonga and Cabacho. Copyright Ross.
You know what I'm saying?
2024.
Salute.
What was your thoughts when you saw Solo Sikoa tell Jacob Fatu to give the belt he won basically single-handedly to Camacho? Mm-hmm. Because you're going to be my personal enforcer. What was your thoughts?
A lot of things. A lot of thoughts. My first one was like, so is he really hurt? Or is this boot an aesthetic? I don't know. I was like, because he kicking people with the boot.
Oh, this is definitely Cowboy Bob Orton with the boot.
Yeah. So, and then I was like, well, this does make sense because I kind of feel like he should be carrying both the belts. Like, because I was kind of sold on Tama until Jacob showed up. Like, he didn't, like, Jacob Fatu showing up to the Bloodline made everybody look less tough. So, you know. And when you can make one of the sons of Haku not look as tough, you're doing something extraordinary, man. And then I thought, well, then my other thought was, oh, the Street Profits is going to win the belts tonight because they got Camacho in the match.
Right.
And I hate I was wrong about that.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this the play. Oh, Street Profits. Because, you know, they low-key original Bloodline supporters. They are like, they kind of in that, like, them and Roman Reigns got something going on. So I was like, hey, Street Profits about to win the tag titles. And it's going to be a Roman Reigns side to kind of help that process. And then none of that happens. So that does have me, but now as we peel back the layers of that, right? And we set the stage. Solo calling Jacob Fatu the enforcer is Solo officially taking himself out of the match that is Roman Reigns versus Solo and has now booking and billing Roman Reigns versus Jacob Fatu. Because as far as I'm concerned, Bang, we had the Solo Roman match last week. That was the match. Hey, look, and you lost. I know it went no three count, but you lost. Because he got the Afalea? I don't want to say it wrong because it's some serious stuff, but when he got the lay, I was like, oh, that's the match. He won. That's it. They covered that in 137 seconds. Beautiful. Boom. Didn't want to see it. No way. Because then here comes Jacob Fatu, giving us the precursor to what we really want to see. And that's all that matters. So to me, that's just him creatively clearing space, diminishing himself to give the people what we really want. It's unfortunate as it comes at a time where Solo is actually getting better on the mic, but too little too late, because we want Jacob versus Roman, and you now got to present the Ula Fala to one of them when they win the match.
Yeah, man. A lot of thoughts that I have on this. First of all, the fact that Jacob Fatu looked back at Camacho the way that he did, like,
go do
him.
Like, he almost lost his eye to the Canadian.
But the fact that he whooped everybody's ass and they still kept the belts was interesting in itself, too.
Yeah.
Look, man, Jacob Fatu will always have a place within First Black Champ.
For sure. Because
he beat the shit out of DIY.
Hey. Slammy. Superstar of the year, Slammy for me. Moment of the year, Slammy for me. What other Slammys they giving out? Which, hey, oh my God moment. You know what I'm saying? You deserve it.
All of
Slam. Give them all the Slammy. Hey, we did it, Brooklyn. We did it. That's how many Slammys Jacob Fatu need for that. He needed enough to say, we did it, Brooklyn. We did it. All them shits. Like, that's how many he need one that said, I've got something to say. He need all the Slammys.
Yeah. So there's that. And I'm still waiting on Jimmy to slide through and be like, nah, y'all not about to jump on Big Cuz like that.
Yeah.
Not by himself, fam. Y'all out here wild. Like, little bro, you out here got these folks that ain't even family whooping family ass. You wrong.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm waiting on. I'm actually waiting on that to be said. Yeah. Hey, man, this ain't even our cousins over here, fam. You over here rocking with people that ain't even family right now. That shit huff as hell, Jack.
Yeah. Oos.
That's not even your cousin. He Tongan. We Samoan. So you already wrong for that. B was good. Oos, like, I'm waiting for that.
Yeah. Hey, no facts. Facts. Because there is one tribal chief, which is the original tribal chief, and the bloodline is a family faction.
Yeah, like, blood.
Yeah.
Yo, like, offshoot, fam. Like, Haku wasn't spending the night over our house. Y'all wasn't spending the night over our house, fam.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Hey, look. Sami Zayn got blessed in. It you show up and you just in it. Like, nah. Sami Zayn had to get blessed in.
Right. Like,
and that's how that go. So, yeah. No, hey, listen. I'm with you because off top, it can't be a bloodline civil war for everything that you said, even though I know that's going to be the billing, but they're like, nah, everybody else family over here, you look crazy, Solo.
Right, you look crazy. But here's the other part, too, that for me is I'm tired of. Look, man, I get it. I get it. Every time y'all see a Samoan, or let's just say a Pacific Islander, every time y'all see a Pacific Islander pop up, y'all want to put him with the bloodline. Mm. Y'all want to put him in the Civil War. Y'all stop it.
Yeah.
The same people that was like, don't be putting all of the black wrestlers in the group because they black, are the same people who every time they see a Samoan or one of Rikishi's kids, all of a sudden we just got to transport their ass straight to the WWE and make them a member of the bloodline. We've seen about 10 other niggas in independent wrestling that got some connection to anybody on the bloodline. And then there's a social post that say, yo, this is the new member of the bloodline. Stop that shit.
Y'all nation of domination in Samoans, and it's nasty.
Yeah. Like, stop that shit. I'm tired of this shit. Like, just because somebody is Samoan, that don't mean we got to automatically put them in the bloodline or make them bloodline adjacent. No. Stop that shit. It's just lame. All right? Y'all didn't want this shit with the Hurt Foundation. Y'all about to say the Hurt Foundation.
Hey, that's fire, though, Lokito.
Yeah, that's fire, though. I just made a new name. But y'all ain't want to do this shit with the Hurt business. Right. Y'all ain't want to put every black person in the Hurt business.
Yeah.
But no, matter of fact, no, y'all did. Because niggas was like, man, why don't we put Naomi in the Hurt business? Bring her back and put her in the Hurt business. Shit, you probably had somebody on social that was like, yo, bring back Jacqueline. She could be the godmother of the Hurt business.
The godmother of the Hurt business is crazy.
Like, every time y'all see somebody black, let's put them in the Hurt business. Mm-hmm. And y'all doing the same shit. Anytime y'all see a Pacific Islander of dark skin, y'all like, hey, y'all, let's put them in the bloodline. No, stop that shit. Stop that shit, man. Stop it now. Like, just because you Jimmy Snuka kid, that don't mean you need to be in the bloodline.
Yeah, you probably need to lay low, too.
Right. Like, man, in a minute, it's going to be like Samoan number five. Like, that's just going to be the legit name of a nigga. Stop trying to NWO the bloodline, fam. That's the reason why the NWO became Huff. Because you start bringing in niggas like Vincent and Stevie Ray and Scott Norton. And, we told y'all this. Camp from the Port was the only nigga that I know of that was like Buff Bagwell in the NWO. It's lit. Go listen to the last episode. Yeah. And I gave him grace. I said, you know what? That's cool. But then when y'all start entertaining niggas like goddamn Scott Norton.
Yeah.
Like, matter of fact, just go to the episode where Eric Bischoff was like, get down to lay down at the end of the night. You get down to lay down. And they had a battle royal. And all of a sudden, it was like 30 new niggas in the NWO.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
who
like Jeff Farmer was in the damn NWO.
Yeah, like, who does not remember the episode of Nitro when Eric Bischoff said at the end of the night, basically, get down to lay down. You either NWO or you not. Mm-hmm. And then it was a scrum at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it was a whole bunch of new members joining the NWO.
Yeah, like Horace Hogan.
Yeah, like.
Well, so, whatever his name was, we had the hair.
Like, the NWO starts with Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. Then they was like, Ted DiBiase is the money man.
Yeah.
Then they brought in the Big Show. They brought him in, kicked his ass out, then brought him back. Then you got NWO Sting because the feud. Then you got Six Pop. Mm-hmm. Now, y'all went off the rails when y'all added Vincent, Miss Elizabeth, Nick Patrick in order.
Right, be clear, in order though.
Why?
Yeah.
Then Eric Bischoff was like, I'm running this shit and I've been running it all along. So y'all better get down to lay down. So when he put down the get down the lay down challenge, we got Buff Bagwell, Michael Wall Street, Big Bubba Rogers, and Scott Norton joining the NWO. Why does any of them niggas, from Vincent to goddamn Scott Norton, if we want to remove Buff Bagwell, that's cool. From Vincent to Scott Norton, why is any of them niggas in the NWO?
Right.
That's what we not gonna do with the bloodline.
Yeah, no.
That's what we not gonna do.
Yeah.
We are not going to NWO the bloodline and just start bringing in Samoa number five, Tongan number six in this shit. All right? We're not gonna bring in the Booyah tribe and be like, yo, these are the musical niggas of the bloodline.
We affiliate.
We are not gonna go to World Wrestling Council where there's probably a couple of Samoans wrestling there too, underneath Carlos Colon's family shit, and say, hey, we have Bloodline Puerto Rico. We are not going to do that shit.
Bloodline Puerto Rico is nuts.
Because we had NWO Japan, my nigga. Like, we had that. Eh? We are not going to do that shit. And look, Louis Spicoli, may he rest in peace, was a member of the NWO. Why?
Yeah, it got super reckless. On the other hand, you let me pick the NWO, though. Somebody going to cut the line. Hey, matter of fact, off the top of my head, NWO for me, and I now need to buy the WWE game or something like this and build the community and all that. Hall, Nash, Hogan, Bischoff. Then I'm personally picking Scott Steiner, Buff Bagwell, and Conan. That's it. I only need them seven. I don't need nobody else. I don't even need six. I'm sorry. I don't need six. I don't need the Giant. I don't need none of them.
You don't even need all them shit.
I need them seven, though. Them seven, with what they did in that period of time, no, I need those seven. We need Bowdy and Rowdy. We need that. We need Big Papa Pump being the hookup and shouting to all the freaks. You know what I'm saying?
And we only need that because the most urban person in the NWO was Conan.
It's facts. Hey,
in a faction, right? And a faction who looked at hip hop and said, "Hey, we gonna do that shit." The only one that was closest to that shit was Conan. He is the only person in the NWO that had any type of street credibility. Now, are there people in the NWO that was white and you like? Yes. Kevin Nash, he good in any hood. Scott Steiner, as MAGA as he seems to be, or at least his brother seems to be, Scott Steiner can still come in the hood and you'd be like, yo, shit. Scott motherfucking Steiner, nigga. Frankenstein, oh, shit, it's lit. Like, out of all of these people in the NWO, there's a handful of people that if you brought them to the hood, folks would be like, oh, shit, you could take a picture in front of this King Von mural.
Yeah, no, for sure. Scott Steiner definitely on that list.
If we want to think about this in Chicago, or Chicago get right now, who are the members of the NWO that could take a picture? Who are the members in the NWO that could take a picture in front of the King Von mural? That's Kevin Nash.
Mm-hmm. Scott Hall.
Scott's not here, so we're just going to leave it alone. But
yeah.
Kevin Nash. Yeah, but okay, we'll put Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Scott Steiner,
Conan.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
For sure. Yeah.
Bret Hart, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Because they were like, I know you hit Salt, though, right? You hit her, right? Like, I know you beat Salt.
The niggas, the OGs like us who know that Bret Hart got, like, what a man rapped to while he was going to the ring, we going to be like, yo, which one you nailed? Salt or Pepper?
You know what I'm saying?
Well, your wife dark skin, fam. So, yeah, you're right. She likes you.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, yeah. Hey. No, you're right. You're right about the NWO and the parallels to the Bloodline. Yeah. And the thing is, I just seen somebody say, yeah, Donnie was just like, because with the Bullet Club, it's 1,000 members of the Bullet Club at this point.
But I love what the Bullet Club does because they reinvent themselves every time they do it. Like, it ain't just like we the Bloodline and
Finn Balor still ain't the head of the Bullet Club. Wait, all these people got added, but Hogan and Bischoff were still the head of.
Right. Like, no matter what, they were tied to it. Like, if anything, Finn look and be like, hey, you took that shit over from me. My nigga, AJ Styles, like, I got you. Then AJ Styles was like, yo, Cody, you took that shit over from me. My nigga, I bet. Oh, Kenny Omega, you took that shit over from me. I bet. Tama was like, all right, we getting away from what we used to be.
And that is the problem. Because even when, hey, and you know what? And maybe that's why I fuck with Conan on the NWO tip, because the Wolfpack was his thing. He was never really black and white NWO. He was NWO Wolfpack. And he was like, well, this is my shit.
I'm with the cool white niggas. We good.
Yeah.
We got it. All right, man. But yeah, I don't want to see no more Bloodline posters of random ass Samoan niggas. I don't give a damn if they cousins, sons, and all of that shit. I don't want to see that. And Donnie, not just Liv and Meechinta Bullet Club, the little Asian girl with the nice ass was in Bullet Club too. The girl that had the bunny rabbit, the Playboy Bunny Vice Lord ears on. Yeah. I forgot her name, but she was over there with I forgot my man name, the Asian dude name, but she's really the first lady of the Bullet Club. She had the long legs out with the Vice Lord bunny ears on. So there's that. But I don't want to see no more niggas. I want to see no more Bloodline members just being thrown in because they Rikishi son, because they Samoan, because they Haku cousin or son, or because it's Deuce and Domino. No, stop it. Deuce and Domino. Stop it, y'all. We don't need no more Bloodline members. Yeah, we're good. We good with who signed under contract. Stop trying to add niggas in this shit. Do not NWO this shit.
Yeah.
Please. For the love of God, don't do it. This is not the one drop rule. He's 1% Samoan, so we got to add him in the Bloodline. No. Don't add no more people into the Bloodline. Let them flourish elsewhere.
Yo.
Hey, y'all are taking this back to the time where Samoans had to wear no shoes and leaves. That if you were Samoan, that's what you had to wear. Now, if you Samoan, you got to be in the Bloodline. If you black, you got to be in the Hurt Business. If you white, you got to be in the Four Horsemen. No, we should have had a black member of the Four Horsemen. Integrate. That's the whole point of Brown versus Board, y'all. Integrate. All right. Before we get out of here, because we got a hard stop. Before we get out of here, let's go through Bash at Berlin.
Yeah.
And let's go through these predictions real quick. We're going to rapid fire this because I don't think we need to draw this out, because Bash at Berlin is just glorified Saturday night's main event at this point. So let's start with the Unholy Union. These goddamn names, y'all. Yeah, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn versus Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. Why they ain't got a name? How come it can't be the Unholy Union versus Sisters with Suplexes? But that's neither here nor there. Who wins the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship?
I got the union, and they haven't given Bianca and Jay the name because they ain't gonna be together after this. Oh. Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be one of those nasty feudy breakups. I think it's just gonna be like, you know what, girl, let me go after this title. Like, you know what I mean? You know, like, girl. You know what I'm saying? Black girls don't really be like, we done. They just do some other shit and let you find like, out.
girl, I know we tag teaming, but I want to go ahead and get this world championship. Well, I want to go ahead and get it too. Okay.
Right. It's like, okay, hey, we'll make the best woman win, you know, like whatever.
And then they walk off like this bitch. Like, that's what's going to happen, basically. Yeah, you know. I agree with you. I don't think somebody's going to jump. Somebody, I think it's gonna be. I'm gonna go after these tags. I'm gonna go after this world championship, bitch. I was thinking the same thing. Well, all right. Well,
right.
That's what I think is gonna happen. So we on the same page. The Unholy Union wins, and we get a slow split, but not a beat up. Let's go to the Terra Twins.
But
Damian Priest. Go ahead.
I was like, yeah. I want the slow slit and the beat up, but you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're goddamn right. Shouts out to Sean Knight watching. CM Punk. No, let's go to CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre in the strap match. Does CM Punk gets his lick back paws, or do Drew McIntyre lose in Europe again?
Man, see, and that's the tricky part about this, because Drew McIntyre losing to CM Punk with like a stipulation or a weapon that makes sense. What I love about this feud is that it's realistic. It's like, you know what? If it's just one-on-one with just these hands, I'll beat your ass. But with this strap, I don't know. So for the sake of keeping the feud going, because CM Punk does have to win the match in WWE, he has to. I'm going to let it be this one. And then we'll see where the trilogy takes us after that. I'm going Punk.
I'm with you. CM Punk ain't win no match in the WWE in over 10 years. It's time. And it has to be with some type of weapon.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a very violent match, and it still gets us ready for Bad Blood, where we will see a Hell in a Cell match between the two.
For sure.
Let's go to the Terror Twins versus the Judgment Day in a mixed tag match. Who you got?
You know what? I got Diamond and Liv. I got Dom and Liv because the one person holding the title can't lose. She can't lose right now. Nah. Liv is on the hot streak. And Damian and Rhea are, they saw it no matter what. Anything to stop hearing the phrase Terror Twins, I'm with. And losing would help us get rid of Terror Twins. So I'm going to pick Dom and Liv because I no longer want to hear Terror Twins after they land from Berlin.
Yeah, I have the Terror Twins by disqualification.
Okay. I like that.
I think Finn and them are going to beat they ass, and they're going to win by disqualification.
Ah, I can see that. I can see that.
We've already given our predictions for Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens. Feel that Kevin Owens is going to win. I feel that Cody Rhodes is going to win, but he's going to get his ass whooped after the match.
Mm-hmm.
Thus turning Kevin Owens heel. But let's get to the main event of the evening. Let's not get it confused. This is the main event of the evening. We got Gunther, Randy Orton. Okay. But the World Heavyweight Championship, if Orton wins, he's going to Raw, and Gunther will go to SmackDown, which is an interesting caveat. I'll tell you right now, we ain't got to worry about none of that shit. Gunther wins in Berlin. Not necessarily home, but it's close enough, it's man. Home. Gunther's going to win at the crib here, and that does not mean that this won't continue. Just saying that Gunther's going to win. He's going to win, and we're going to be thankful for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I got Gunther also. There's not a matchup that excites me for him on SmackDown anyway at this moment. No way do we have him as an Intercontinental champ over 600 days for him to lose in the pseudo rematch in like less than 120. Nah. It's not gonna happen that way. Salute to Randy Orton though. Maybe 15 comes a different way.
Yeah, but it's coming though.
Yeah, for sure.
But Gunther's gonna win, and Gunther's gonna win clean, like he should have won the King of the Ring clean, but we know what happened there. So
yeah.
All right, man. Well, look, man, we thank you all for joining us. I've been gone for a couple of weeks, but we back like we never left, y'all. Yeah. So I'll be ready, man. We're going to be more consistent, you know, except we will be missing a week in September.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Hey, no show September 15th. Spoiler alert. I'll be getting married that day, and I might be high on shrooms. but I won't be doing it alone because my wife is cool. But yes, no show September 15th for sure. You can count that. But hey, man, you know, I might even hop on. I might download the apps on social media and entertain some stories for y'all or something like that. We out in Vegas, fly in, get drunk, be merry, do some other things. I don't never tell. All right. And we appreciate y'all. You know, let me stay on track. We appreciate y'all checking out this episode, the return episode, as we close out August on the First Black Champ podcast. Obviously, all of you being a part of this community and sticking with us, man. You know, a lot of life stuff happened, man. And, you know, we didn't want to leave you hanging. We hate to neglect you. We hate to leave you, off in the corner over there. But, man, nothing is more important than us being mentally, emotionally, and spiritually ready to give you the kind of entertainment that you got today. We appreciate y'all for sticking with us and sticking by us, man. We thank you. And always, man, you just know that if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. Pick VP DOC, and we are out. Shout to the Thrill Billy. Fuck Johnny Wrestling. Fuck EC3. And fuck Johnny Wrestling again. We out.